Take four. Hello, Kupo. You're listening to another episode of Kupo Talks. I'm your host, Ray, also known as the Mog Knight, and with our forever guest in the rotating chair.
Hello!
Introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. Hi, it's me, Summer Kurtz, as always, here. Thank you.
You're listening to our very final episode of the 2023, I was supposed to say fiscal year, but fiscal year ends in April, right?
depends what you're talking about. Sometimes it ends in October.
Regular year, 2023 at Dominus, under the year of our Lord, you know.
Of course.
It's our planned Christmas episode, but if you don't celebrate Christmas, well, we do here.
It's the holiday
happy episode. Holiday episode. You know, just here to wrap up the year. If you don't know, we have the Game Awards coming up, the Kupo Rides Game Awards coming up maybe soon after this podcast airs.
But I mean, this is our
on the 28th to the 30th, I think.
This is the fourth annual Kupo Awards, I believe. Fourth or fifth?
Yeah, so it's the fourth we did together, but I did like a fifth one in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically was the game of the year of the decades of the 2010s.
Yeah.
But you can also find this out in our hit new splash page, kupo.cafe/GameAwards2023. Whoa. Taking you back to old internet 1.0 days.
Yeah.
Because I like this, and I like writing HTML in my notepad editor.
Nice. But yeah, no, this episode we're probably going over some pretty light holiday stuff, and then just kind of really talking about what the 3 to 4 day project, I believe, kind of will be, kind of our thoughts.
Maybe a preview of various things.
Yeah, maybe some stuff that didn't make it in, or stuff that we wanted to talk about but didn't really fit either the format or probably won't get time to kind of talk about.
And I'll be quite honest with you, I have barely started on my writing and organizing my thoughts on all these stuff. So it'll be a way for me to, boil things down.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we get to that, how have you been
working with your Andy? Good. I mean, I'm a big fan of the holiday season. I know we talked about it in our Thanksgiving episode, but yeah, I always look forward to the holidays every year. I like gift giving. I mostly like the food that's involved.
Yes.
So it's a lot of calls with like family members to see like, hey, who's making what? What's going on? But yeah, no, looking forward to the holidays, and I just always. I'm always happy to be able to play my CD copy of A Charlie Brown Christmas by the Vince Gigliani group. Exactly. So, yeah, remember, that was some holidays here.
Remember when we used to hang together in college?
Yeah.
Just blasting it out, bro.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good album. That's a good time. How are your holiday seasons going?
I am doing fine. Like you, I also enjoy the holiday season. It's fine for me to, you know, show off a little bit my cooking skills. Just cooking. Just relax a little bit. With my profession, I also get a 2-week break.
All right.
Before it all goes, go back to the grind again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a opportunity for me to get through some projects and like writing and everything.
Yeah.
And it's time not to be lazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real struggle with me of like, sometimes I slow down, but I slow down so much that my speedometer hits 0 miles an hour and maybe even negative. So,
oh man, progress.
Reverse progress. Like I start like destroying everything and demolishing everything.
Yeah.
But you know, just trying to be productive, catching up with some games. Like games. There's a Steam sale going on, and then I got recommended this thread about immersive gaming, like immersive sim games, where like, you know, you have to find creative solutions to stuff, and things just happen around the world, sometimes planned, sometimes not planned. It's like, well, so maybe that's the thing I'll do.
Oh, neat. Yeah, for me, I think it's mostly kind of trying to finish up these last couple of games. One in particular was significantly longer than I hoped it would be. And yeah, just really collecting my thoughts. Been watching a lot of film lately. Not necessarily a lot of holiday film, but just watching a lot of movies. A lot of one French film, The Return of Marie Guerre. Mostly recommendations from one Josh Sawyer in his recent talk on Pentiment and what really helped, what he really pulled from to really make that game alongside a lot of the incredible, incredible research work that went into making that game. Pentiment is one of those games that I did not finish, unfortunately. I won't really be talking about it in my games of this year, just because I played some other games. But it was one of those games that I really enjoyed. I think the aesthetic is really neat. I think it does a lot of interesting stuff, especially like knowing what that game is and then watching like something like The Name of the Rose, which is like where it's really pulling off. It's like, oh yeah, this is just a detective mystery film wrapped around a 13th century to 15th century like village, and that in itself is really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's like these tropes that we know, but like in a setting that it's really unique as compared to everything else.
As my partner was saying, is like, oh, you just, I mean, when we talk about film, like my favorite genre film is any sort of detective film. Like it does not matter the setting, as long as there is a core mystery that will be solved at the end of the film by one or more characters, I am on board. So yeah, those films pretty good. Really, really enjoyed them.
Cool. I don't know. It's Fear and Fridays. Lately, you know, past 16 weeks, apparently, according to this episode list.
Also, it's a full season or a double season, as some people call them.
Yeah, they'll be coming back in 2024, baby.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
That's like all the. So, like this year in 2023, I didn't watch a lot of anime, but I did read a lot of manga.
Oh, nice.
Specifically the two that are getting animes next year, which is Dungeon Meshi.
Yes.
And Frieren.
Yes.
And I think those two are like peak. they like put previews on like the Twitter. The EX. And people are like commenting like the it's time for peak. I was like, this is peak fantasy season. I'm like fair.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
What's like sets those two mangas apart from like anything I've read is, you know, they're both in their way, like have that like comfiness of like a slice of life thing where it's like it's safe, it's pleasant to read, but then they can instantly like turn the dial into like more action-y or like more like deep, serious topics in a way.
Sure.
But it does still strike that balance, and it makes it like unique to its identity rather than, you know, the popular shonen or popular like seinen things out there.
Yeah.
Or like it doesn't like, or I don't know. It's always hard to explain sometimes, but it's just comfy, but really cool and badass at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're watching it, I highly recommend you read it too. I think even reading Frieren and watching the anime, like there's a lot of stuff that they don't go over in the anime or like stuff that's like only briefly mentioned in the manga, but they could extrapolate it a little bit more. You know, adding to that slice of life feel, but also just adding more depth to the characters.
Right.
And I really like those kinds of adaptations where it's like it's not just a one-to-one recreation of the source material, but it adds its own-ness to it. You know, just like the popular Scott Pilgrim, right? It's not one-to-one, but it's like it has that same flavor, same vibe, but now put in a different, unique, and new setting or new story. And I hope Dungeon Meshi does the same.
Yeah, yeah. As I think I read maybe half of Dungeon Meshi. I really enjoyed it. I think it has a lot of really interesting things. It has a lot of fun things, right?
Yeah. Like fun things like expressions and like the regular story beats.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like you get to this one scene where it's like one of the characters like finds this aquatic unicorn to be his friend.
Yeah, yeah. The Kelpie scene, yeah?
Yeah, the Kelpie scene. And then it's like something happens or it's like, yeah, these are animals.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, these are just wild animals.
They will eat you if you let them.
Yeah. You know. As humans we can like add in our like emotions and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, by the end of the day they are bound by their animalistic nature.
Yeah.
They're not domesticated.
Yeah, yeah.
And like there's other like notions far beyond like that kind of stuff that I definitely do want to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Like so it's 12 volumes translated officially to English. Mm-hmm. Then the two last volumes came out like last week in Japan.
Oh wow. Okay.
And then as Americans who don't know how Japanese, you have to wait until March to get the last two volumes. I was like, man. Man, can you help me out, bro? Can you learn Japanese if you want? Enough where you can. I'll buy you the thing, and then he translated it for me. Like you read it like a bedtime story.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
Tell me how they eat Fallon's corpse.
Okay, I'll let you know.
All right, thank you.
Yeah,
I'm a Japanese expert.
Like beginner Japanese. I can read. I don't know what it says though.
Maybe I'll get my other friend. He's actually in like study on stream, so
yeah.
I'll pay him.
Yeah, you're probably better off talking to him.
Anyways, lots of stuff that happens this year, but the main bulk of this podcast is just introducing / previewing some of the stuff that's gonna come out in our writing for the Kupo Writes Game Awards.
Yeah. I think I kind of wanted first talk about the. I mean, I'm writing 8, right? Sort of. And there was definitely a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor that kind of wanted to shake this time. It was like that didn't make it that I did play. First, I think I really want to talk about, because you wrote about it, I think last year, with Citizen Sleeper. Yes. which is a game that I like you. I read your post after I beat it, and I was like, oh yeah, I completely agree with everything here. It's such a fantastic game. Yes. I was lucky enough to play it on like Xbox Game Pass.
For free.
The only thing I didn't do was the last DLC because that was the cutoff point. So I guess at some point want to go back and play it, but like I very much enjoyed my time with it. I played Fire Emblem Three Houses after, wait, when did that game come out? Like 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
It was the game of the year for my 2019.
Exactly. The game rules. It's a good game.
Rocks,
I'm glad I played it 4 years later. Because I finally picked up a Switch this year, for the next game, which is the Kingdom, which
2 years.
I kind of fell off. I wish I liked it more. It was good. I don't know if we want to talk about this now, but I don't necessarily agree that it should have won Game of the Year this year on a lot of major publications.
Jeez. I have not watched the Keelys,
unfortunately. It wins Game of the Year, and it also won.
That's wild. That is wild to me.
It also won Giant Bomb's Game of the Year, which I don't agree. Love the Flux of Giant Bomb. Big fan.
Love them. Love their work.
They both are, but I don't think it should have won. Gonna be really real here. I thought it was good. It was good. Maybe because the main build mechanic is not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant for me. And so a lot of what I understand makes that game shine just doesn't hit. And, you know, it is a technological marvel for that thing to run on the Switch. I understand.
Yeah.
But it's just not my game of the year.
But I think that the Tears of the Kingdom, for me, I also fell off of it. I streamed that on stream.
Yeah.
But when I got off the island, it's like, I know that's not it, but I'm like, this feels like this is it. Where it's like, yeah, it's just, you know, just all the building stuff.
Yeah.
Where like the original Breath of the Wild is like something new. Tears of the Kingdom builds up on that.
Yeah.
But I don't personally think that it like transforms it in a way where like, if you look at all the other popular options for Game of the Year, it doesn't like reach what the other people are reaching for like their goal.
Yeah. There is definitely, I mean, when I compare it to how I felt about Breath of the Wild, sure, they made a lot of changes to that game. And, you know, there's a completely, you know, second and third layer to that game on that map that is incredibly interesting. It just, I don't know. It's not for me. Will I eventually beat it? Probably at some point. But I'm in no rush to get to it. I feel the same way with Jedi Survivor, how I felt with
I used to love that game.
Jedi Order. It's the same thing as like, wow, this is a move in another direction. It is expanding upon what the first game was laid out foundationally. But unfortunately, that game was mired with a lot of technical issues and bugs that kind of really turned me off. Mm-hmm. I got relatively far. I got maybe like 2/3 to at least 70% through that game. And I lost the agency to complete it. I think it's really neat. I really like that combat a lot. I think between the two of us here, I'm the much bigger Star Wars fan. But I think it was just too mired with issues for me to kind of really continue forward.
Yeah, sometimes when the execution isn't enough, it really sours the experience in a way.
Yeah. And kind of the last game I want to talk about here is Skyward Sword. Actually, maybe I should have segued off of Legend of Zelda. I was fortunate enough to get a hold of a Wii U and play Skyward Sword. And it was okay. Though this does complete my several year-long journey of trying to play
every
3D Zelda game. I even played some 2D ones, but like every major 3D Zelda game, mainline titles. And that ended with Skyward Sword. And the game's fun. I don't know how I really feel about that combat, but I understand that is one of the better Zeldas. That's a cool Zelda. For regardless of anything else, I think Groose is really funny. He's a great addition as this weird, not a serious antagonist.
Yeah.
But like it's you don't get to see Link in a regular like schoolyard rivalry very much. Like, you know, this is the hero of time and not space, but like, you know, he doesn't really have to interact with regular people, right?
Yeah.
Like he does not have to deal with human emotions outside of anger and hate. And like joy, right?
Yeah, it's like when you think about like the openings of every Zelda game.
Yeah.
The ones that are different to me, at least, it's Wind Waker, where you're just a kid.
Yeah.
And then the destiny befalls upon you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Skyward Sword, where it's like, you know, just hanging out with your buds and your friends. Yeah. And then things befall you.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are games that I won't really get the time to talk about in our writing this year, but I do like to point them out that I did play them and I did enjoy them. But you know, for one reason or another, they're not
awardees.
They're not in my besties.
They get their participation medal and that's it.
Yeah. I do want to make there will be a special mention for Golden Idols DLCs, as it won my Game of the Year last year.
Yes.
And its DLCs came out this year, and I played through all of them, and they were fantastic. But it didn't feel right to include it again as a contender, because I know I included Moon Crash last year as a standalone DLC thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Golden Idol, play it. It's really good.
God, yeah, putting it in my, I think I have it in my cart. Putting it in my cart again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the kind of most of the games I wanted to talk about.
Let's see. Going off your theme of things that probably won't make the cut for the writing segment. It was a pretty good year for narrative stories, I would say. At least for like visual novel types.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many that you know, they still like touched me in a way, but either I haven't completed it or I wanted to get more into it, but I didn't have the time or you know, this I think I've only not finished one. Actually, no, that's not true. I did finish not so a lot of them.
Okay.
So other things. I think the earliest one this year was this one Ace Attorney-like called Tyron Cuthbert, Attorney of the Arcane.
Okay.
Which is basically Ace Attorney plus magic.
Okay, sure.
There hasn't been a lot of Ace Attorney-likes. And those that are like Ace Attorney likes are oftentimes either like parodies or like they didn't go over with it or like just like indie like projects or whatever.
Yeah.
But I picked up how do you spell it right? Tyron? Mm-hmm. I'll just say Tyron. Tyron Cuthbert. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I think it does the Ace Attorney stuff well.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough to where it like feels like a copy of it, right? It doesn't do like anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Other than you have to like flip through a spell book and try to like connect the dots of like their wizard arcane system, because it is a little bit different than like traditional ones.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's like you have to like study it, and like you're supposed to like only study this kind of magic, but also there's dark forbidden magic.
Mm-hmm.
It does do that thing where it's like the story at the beginning becomes like an overarching like big problem,
mm-hmm.
But you don't get to realize that until like after like the third act, where it's like, okay, oh, maybe everything's all connected together because it's this dark magic.
Wow.
I was really close to. I think I had like two more acts left to beating it. It was neat. The character interactions were fun, but you know, it wasn't like grounding me to where like I felt like I was able to move on to play other things.
I get you.
Speaking of like another thing that I was interested in and played a little bit of it, but I never sat down to beat it completely, is a Coffee Talk episode 2.
Yes, I knew that came out.
I think it's
year.
A hibiscus and something.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee, hibiscus, and butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And like, kind of, the first Coffee Talk is interesting, but it never like ever hooked me all the way through. Mm-hmm. And it's like same thing with this one, because I think the first few customers you get are like into like social media and being like a content creator and like that kind of perspective of like putting yourself out there on the internet, but also there's a lot of like fantasy racism. Coffee Talk has like high fantasy characters where like you have like banshees and like orcs and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it also does that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool to see. I'm not saying it does it not well, but I'm also just saying it's not my cup of tea per se. I'm not saying you, I don't know, man. It doesn't make me uncomfortable, but it's like I wonder, not if they could do other stories, but I wonder if how like crucial and critical that is to the story they want to tell. Plus also I haven't beaten it, so maybe it got better as we went on, but I would like to give this like a real read as well.
Yeah.
The coffee stuff's okay. I don't know. Anyways, there's that one. The last one that I didn't finish was Videoverse.
Videoverse.
That's the the one where it's like framed of like you're like in this Miiverse kind of thing, but in like the 90s.
Okay.
There's like internet forums and like that kind of like interactivity and everything. And like you're on a forum and they had to like
this one. Yeah.
Yeah, then this kid wants to be a game developer and is posting his artwork on his stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why isn't no one liking my stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a really cool artist mm-hmm. that everyone's like popular with, or it's very popular and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the story will keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
But I had it in my like to play for a really long time because I like the vibe. I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm currently playing it in bed on my Steam Deck.
Nice.
Slowly but surely.
As one should.
So I can't finish it to say that it was good this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot more, but like Bandcamp Boyfriend is another one. A standard traditional visual novel, but set in a setting where that is part of my life, which is Bandcamp and band.
Hey, I was there too.
Yes, you were. Remember that time we were like skanking and then you hit your face or your lips on your trumpet mouthpiece super hard and started bleeding?
That was one incident. The other incident, someone hit me.
No, that's the other one. That was where we're not skanking. We're not having fun. Anyways, there's another one, Volcano Princess, which is a... what are they called? That's not a daughter builder brain. It's what it's the raising simulator. There you go.
A princess something?
Volcano Princess. But it's like off the heels of like a Princess Maker.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I heard it was good.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I think that's all. Oh, Hayseed Knight Chapter 4 came out. Mm-hmm. Hayseed Knight is a beautiful visual novel that I highly recommend you read. Not you, but well, you and everyone listening to here, especially if you like deer and gazelles,
mm-hmm.
and like it sets apart so differently than the other things that I read. It's really unique. Indie games, Dungeons of Aether, I really enjoyed this year.
Nice.
And maybe I would have played it more if I had a better Steam Deck at the time.
Ah, yeah.
And I think that's all the stuff that I won't be writing for the writing show for the Game Awards. Then everything else. I have a list. Let's see. I need to boil this down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11 games, and I probably should need to boil it down to like 8.
Yeah, just
maybe I'll do all of them because I have time. I don't know.
Wait, are we revealing our games that we're talking about?
You could do like some of them. Like don't give them all. Like give them like a little taste, you know.
Okay, sure.
All right, I'll pick one.
Sure.
I played this game on stream, and I beat it on stream.
Uh-huh.
If you watch here at me at twitch.tv/bognight11. Signalis.
Ooh, yes, very good.
Right, you wrote about it last year,
and
writing was like, maybe I should play this. And it's also a rookie season.
Yeah.
And I played it. It's a very good game. There's a clip of me trying to figure out how to beat the last boss.
Yeah.
And just to give it to I just kept on hammering it with grenades.
Yeah.
Which you weren't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But it also coincided with the time of this artist on Twitter. I can't for the life of me know her name.
Is it the animatic artist?
Yeah.
She
does like animations of like all the or like the Signalis characters, and they're so pretty and cute. And it's like, huh, maybe I like Signalis more.
Yeah.
But it's neat. I like it. All right, your turn.
One of the games I'm writing about is Last Train Home by Ashborn Games.
A recent release.
Yeah, recent release. Came out end of November. And it's the one game that I mentioned that I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. Almost towards the end, I was really close to giving up because I got hit with a bug. That may or may not. It was essentially, the bug was, is if you put all of your squad into one, you can find trucks on the map, right?
Yeah.
If you put them all on the map, if you put them all on a truck and you start driving, this will cause a bug where everyone on the squad will have an empty magazine. There is no manual reload in this game. There's no action to reload them. They have to be put in a position where they're being shot at in order to force a reload. Like the AI has to reload.
Okay, so it's like you can only reload in battle.
In battle. But if you're trying to start a battle, when you click on an enemy, because their magazine is empty, they will go for a melee hit. Which is not good. Which is not good. And no one in the squad has ammunition. Like, it is such a weird bug. And it's like, how do I work my way out of this? Because it's like, do you have to forcibly get caught, let the enemy shoot at you, and then hope that your squad just automatically reloads? Yeah. I ended up having to like roll back a save. It's like, okay, no one's gonna get on the truck. We're just gonna walk. Too bad.
Walk like our ancestors.
It's not worth getting in the truck anymore. Like, I tried to get it to work for like 45 minutes. I was so upset. It's a great game. It's just a little long in the tooth, and I played it on. I'll get to this in my review, but I played it on the standard difficulty. Just, you know, as it's balanced. The game was pretty easy. I never really had a struggle at all. As like, that's like kind of like, there's like in the cutscenes where I was like, oh, we're running out of food and ammunition. It's like, bro, we got like 800 pounds of food in the back. We're doing pretty okay.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't line up.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're burning cloths. Like, no, dude, we have like 3,000 pounds of coal. We're doing all right. We're going to make it. Like, this train can go into overdrive for the last like 800 miles and we're going to be golden. But yeah, so the game was a little easier than I thought. Cause I did take the difficult paths.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they were that difficult. I think it kind of balances out. Cause when you fight in a conflict, you are going to gather resources there anyway. So like, there was points in that game where I had to be really creative because my stores were too big. I had an excess of items. And it's like, okay, what can I use right now to make sure that I can leave with like the maximum amount of stuff I can fit in this train before I had to go? And yeah, but it was good. I enjoyed it. So I'm going to be writing pretty at length about this game. I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's fun times for me, but not so fun times for most people, is big hit game Starfield.
Ooh. Oh, I know you're going to write this. And I've been waiting.
I am not known to play Bethesda games very often. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not known to play, you know, just AAA titles for the sake of them being AAA or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, for this void of my life, then with Starfield mm-hmm. release, I'm like, hey, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's hit and new. I want to find out why and what makes it itch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played it for like 60 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Find out my actual playtime.
Yeah.
But I will have to report, and I'll say this in my writing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most mid game I have ever played in my life.
Including
Skyrim, including Oblivion.
It's better. It's not as good as either of those two games.
Yeah, like I feel like those games had like in its own way, its own style, but it's like the jank that made it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Starfield, I don't know. I feel like I never got jank, but I did get bad game design. I did get wide open spaces, and I just have to like auto run to get to my checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The acting is great, and like some of the quest writing is okay.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, you're here to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the game wasn't good. It's like it has an interesting ending to it where I think they executed it really well.
Yeah.
But just going to that stuff and like the companions just feel like they're just buddies and not like, you know, like homies, you know? But it's just, it's so mid, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they spent all these years just developing the most mid. It's like, it's not bland, but it's under-seasoned.
Yeah, no.
Like, there could be more.
They were toting this as being like, this is going to change everything, right? Like, this is going to be Bethesda's, like, magnum opus.
Yeah.
And it's... I'm the resident Bethesda, like, fan here. And I have no idea how you stomached it for the entirety of the game when I gave up within... Steam's very strict 2-hour policy for refunds, where I played about 89 minutes and I was like, nah, this isn't for me. And yet you stuck with it. Yeah, man.
I stuck with it. You'll hear about my writing about it, but it's so mid, dude.
I really hope that this kind of forces them to rethink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like their design process, their writing process, like, I mean, you probably hit this in your review, but like a lot of what people are saying is like, this just feels stuck, right? Like this is a early 2010s video game that came out in 2023.
Yeah. It has like this like polish and sheen to it.
Yeah.
But it's still like, it's like basically it's what they made for Fallout 3, but with less buildings.
Yeah.
Like they're going to take out all the buildings.
Yeah.
So it's, everything's flat.
Just play Fallout 3. Not the best Fallout game either, but it's got something underneath.
I feel like the Fallout games had like a, they didn't have soul, but they had a spirit to them.
Yeah.
And even like the Elder Scrolls games, maybe it's because Starfield wasn't tied to an already existing property.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where they gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's mid game, mid life, mid award. There you go. Days, time played, 1 day and 21 hours.
Yeah.
fun times.
Damn.
Well, I don't know. Biggest waste of my time, I guess.
Yeah. Wow. Award for biggest waste of time.
Yeah, I think you have a time for two more preview reveals. Awards and details.
What do I want to
pick? A card.
I don't want to pick my juicy ones, or should I pick my juicy ones?
You like give in detail one of your lamer ones, and then
I am writing about Potion Craft Alchemist Simulator.
Ooh, is that on sale?
I think it is on sale. it is, there's a lot of Alchemist Simulator games out there on like on Steam and stuff. And I played this in very early January, which I think generally speaking, the beginning of the year tends to be a real kind of dry season for me. I don't really tend to play a lot of games, or at least I don't, right? Cause we're such rushing to play so many games by the end of the year, right? By the time that January hits, I'm a little burnt out. I need something just real easy, nothing that's too long or too heavy. Something that
goes down smooth, you know?
Yeah, and I kind of stumbled upon this one, and I liked how it looked. I liked the gameplay that it had. It's. I also remember you were playing a different Alchemist Simulator game at some point.
Yeah, it's like Potion Craft or something.
Yeah, well, this is also called Potion Craft, so it's a little... the name's, yes, very confusing. I don't...
Yeah, when you have potions in them, you know, sorry.
Yeah, it's simple, it's straightforward. The only thing that kind of really holds it back is that it requires a lot of grinding. Like, there's like recipes that require... something like 12 to 14 other potions to complete the recipe. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. This is a lot. And yeah, they kind of and there's been talks about how the game is not really supported that well. There are stuff in the descriptions in like the Steam of this and like the Steam description of this game that just have not been released, and it's been like a year, and like certain upgrades never really came. Like there was kind of a thing of like, hey, you're gonna be able to upgrade your cauldron and like be able to buy new like base liquids.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe a new like mortar and pestle, and I don't think that ever came out. So it's just kind of like it's a solid game that just never received any strong support.
Yeah,
but I did enjoy the time I spent with it. To be fair, like the 15 or so odd hours, I liked it. It was good.
It goes down smooth.
Yeah,
and there's been two projects I was really interested in this year that came out in early access.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, just layoffs and like saying we don't have the money to do this anymore. Yeah. So this is our last update. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. I wish I knew about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, things happen.
Yeah. Do I give one last one or?
I'll give one.
Okay.
And then it'll be the closing one.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to talk about Saints Row 2022.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Okay.
Speaking of, mid games. But this game, I don't believe it's mid. I think it got a bad rap because it wasn't. I don't know. It's also hard to tell because the people who are like most vocal about stuff on the internet are like, not the kind of people you want to be listened to at all. We're saying like this is Volition's worst game, where it's like, this sucks out all the spirit of Saints Row.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is, the way this works, if you don't know, mm-hmm. is that this is their reboot of the Saints Row series.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning story-wise, this is like basically the start of Saints Row. Uh-huh. And where Saints Row basically 1 and 2, it's the roots are literally gang crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like that old style of like organized crime drama where it's like mafia stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it's like you need to take vengeance, or like this is your territory, or like this is my family and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they took that but expanded it in a way where it's like a little bit more modern.
Mm-hmm.
Like your main four groups,
mm-hmm.
a group of four people are like millennials who like got out of college and like they need money, so they've been doing like odd jobs and stuff, and mm-hmm. then something happens and then they form the Saints.
Yeah,
but I think people are not like that privy to like that reinventing of what the Saints were. Mm-hmm. Like, to be fair, my Saints Row 2 is one of my favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just for the Xbox and just in general. Like, it's like I played a lot in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think I'm adult enough to say that, hey, this is just the new Saints game and it plays really well. Head out the heels of that, like their Saints engine or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's just overall just solid for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't really understand that you can separate different games.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can separate Saints Row 1 and 2 from like 3 and 4 and then now the reboot of Saints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had fun with it. I don't think I'm going to beat it. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just that same formula of like, you're going to take down the crime bosses and you're going to get territory and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But as the only real sandbox game I played
mm-hmm.
this year, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I just got it for cheap. That's why I started playing it.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I was more really curious. Because as a Saints fan who has never played 3 and 4 or Gets Out of Hell,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a different game, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, then the rest are just narrative games. Ooh, Hi-Fi Rush. Something mm-hmm. I want to write about. These are big hitters.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest hitter I got here, other than Starfield, was Baldur's Gate 3 Act 1.
Oh, man.
I have not played Act 2 or Act 3, and I kind of don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But Act 1, pretty good.
But you got what you wanted out of it, basically, right?
It's like that thing of, like, I played the entire Act 1. It's like, you know, now that's, like, the tone. That's, like, all the gameplay. That's everything. Mm-hmm. That's all the characters and stuff. You get the introduction.
Yeah.
And it's like, these characters are cool, but I'm not, like, head over heels for any of them. Like, the people on the internet that I've seen,
mm-hmm.
you know, just clawing over, what's his name, Asterion?
Asteron?
Vampire Man. Well,
yeah, it's Todd Six Vampire Man. I think
you're not supposed to know he's a vampire.
Everyone knows he's a vampire. How could, my mom knows he's a vampire. Everyone knows, like, the sexy vampire.
You know who's my favorite one? Gale. Uh-huh. I like Gale. Because okay, at any time, he's about to explode.
Yeah, that's
like
funny.
Out of not like anger, but like the mana and the curse inside his body.
Just like me.
Yeah, just like you. He has a reverse tummy problems.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, instead of, like, you know, it like it's compacting, it like it expands and explodes.
Yeah, I know how that feels. I have IPS.
But yeah, that's High Five Rush is fun.
Yeah. The last game I do want to take a peek at is Project Wingman. Ooh. Mostly because of recent developments and what has occurred with Project Wingman. I'm gonna phase this out. I rank Project Wingman very, very high on the best games I played this year. I adore it. It's great. It is, as someone, you know, Ace Combat 7 came out. We were still living together, I think.
Yes.
I think it came out, what, 2019, 2017, something like that? I'm going to be very specific in how I describe this. In action flight games, it's not a flight sim. That's a very different thing. It does not play like a flight sim.
It's more action-y.
Yes, it's an action game with flight controls, or whatever. That game's so goddamn good. I adored it. It hits the super serious tone that, I mean, in all of their, like, marketing and stuff, they do not mention Ace Combat. But it's really clear to see, like, no, this is an Ace Combat game. Like, I understand that you can't say this for probably legal reasons, and, you know, you don't want to necessarily force that comparison.
Yeah.
But anywhere that you read on the internet that is talking about Project Wingman, this is an Ace Combat game in everything but name.
Yeah,
and it is so. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like the Ace Combat basically sets itself into that niche of those kind of games where it's like, even the outsiders know that, hey, is that about that Ace Combat game?
Yeah, everyone knows. It is. I've even heard, like, some talk of, like, hey, there's a lot of people in, like, the United States Air Force that say, like, why'd you get into flying planes? Like, I played Ace Combat. It's like, game kicks ass. Anyway, Project Wingman, beautifully made, incredibly well done. I don't think I have any cons against the game. That game is really well made. The only thing that I want to talk about, and it's been very divisive in the community, is the release, its release on console, which is fine, great. Glad it came out on console. Except that there are 6 exclusive missions
that
can only be played on PS5.
What?
And look, I already dropped, you know, full price. I bought the game. Maybe I bought it on sale. But, like, you know, I shelled out 20 to 30 something-ish dollars. Am I going to drop that again to play 6 missions? And that's a question that's really hard to justify for a lot of people. And it's like, you feel kind of left out, right? As, like, this game was built on PC. It has mostly been a PC audience for, like, the last couple of years to come out. I think it came out, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, the community is mostly on PC. And now that community has been alienated, right? And there hasn't been real talk of getting those 6 missions onto PC. And so it's like, when it's such a strong, distinct community that kind of revolves around these kind of games that, like, there's not a lot of these games that exist out there. So there's very little that can scratch this itch. And if you want to scratch that itch, and you're kind of being forced to shell out way more money than you would want to, you start to feel kind of bad. You kind of start feeling betrayed. Like, people, this had a Kickstarter, right?
Yeah.
And
community built.
Yeah. Granted, it was not fully funded by the Kickstarter. It's, to my understanding, they got I think it was an Epic Games grant for using Unreal Engine, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, their promise to their backers is kind of weird. But, like, it kind of sucks that, you know, this is not easily acceptable to a lot of people. But outside of that, the game is immaculate. I really, really enjoy playing it. There's some funny moments that happen in this game. It's really clever writing.
Mentioned it before, like, that the one that stuck with me is that the lady
co-pilot. This is a character that you just don't get if you just pick the wrong planes. Just such good lines, dude. I mean, yeah, it's pretty good. But yeah, that's gonna be on my list to talk about.
Nice. Yeah. Well, look forward to all these hit games and talks. The Kubo Writes Game Awards shows up at your doorstep on December 28th through whatever dates we had planned.
28th to the 30th, and then final awards go out the 31st.
Sure, we'll go with that. Yeah. I'm not changing my graphics. We get a hit on one. Mm-hmm. You can head down to kupo.cafe/gameawards2023. The slash isn't there. Please find them out. I'm not gonna say it again. You'll appreciate it, listeners of this cast, if you can check it out and whatever. And it'll be a fun time celebrating games, unlike those other people, you know, celebrating ad space.
Yeah.
Rooster, can you hear that rooster crowing?
No, there's a rooster.
Yes, my neighbors have a rooster sometimes.
Oh, that's sick.
One time I was doing like a video for like a school project thing, and then like I had time to do it during the day, but during the day the rooster crows.
Oh man! So,
like, I have my lab mic and like do my script and just hear the rooster and like.
What the heck, you're just out there, dude. You're recording this on a farm.
Apparently, my suburbia is a farm.
Yeah, I know. Everyone knows that Mognite lives real out there. He lives on a really quaint farm. He owns a couple sheep, couple roosters.
Yeah. Bill, yeah. I'll be using some of them this year, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Some lamb roast.
Yeah. Do you want to wrap it up with a couple of games we're excited for next year? Either that are releasing or to play?
I'm looking at my Steam wish list.
Ah, nice.
Because, you know, I'm not the biggest, I don't own a console, and I'm not the biggest, you know, AAA, whatever thing.
Mm-hmm. So the Starfield man, sure.
Yeah, so the Starfield, that's the anomaly of this year, right? Yeah. Every year I get to have an anomaly.
Yeah, okay, that's right. And every year I get to, I pick a very obscure game from like 20 years ago.
Exactly.
And hit nudge for this year.
Yeah, he's finally gonna write about Super Metroid.
Oh man. Oh, it would be really funny if I started playing Super Metroid. I wrote about Link to the Past a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, I think you wrote about Link to the Past.
Yeah. Anyway,
on the top of my wish list, there's this game called Kind Words, that I really liked at the time, where you anonymously write letters and kind words to people on the internet, and then they respond to you back and you ask for advice. Oh, they're nice. Making a kind words to you, parentheses, lo-fi city pop.
Oh, nice. Okay.
What else? Is this in order? Did I put this right? I did not put it right. Release date. There you go. All these are lame. Sorry. That's a good one. Hades 2. Maybe I'll touch it.
Yeah.
I never beat Hades. Did I beat Hades?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm not a
Dragon's
big
Dragon's Dogma 2.
Oh, yeah.
Rivals 2, Urbano. Mm-hmm. I'm just listing these and you don't know anything about it. Regency Solitaire 2. I love Regency Solitaire 1. Mm-hmm. There's this one called Schrodinger's Cat Girl. It seems really interesting. Concerto on White, which is a rhythm game. Paper Perjury, which is a pixel art. Ace Attorney clone.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I Just Want to Be Single. Hit Popular Controversial. Visual novel, After Love EP, Indonesian based studio making this game.
Mm-hmm.
Nirvana, Cyberpunk Bartender Action.
Yeah.
And I think that's all on my wish list.
Nice.
Among many other ones.
For me, I think that are coming out this year.
Snufkin. I wanna play the Snufkin one.
Okay. Snufkin okay. There is a game coming out. I don't know if it'll come out next year, but there's a game called The Darkest Files, which is a detective game that revolves around the Nuremberg trials.
I love them.
There's another one called Espiocracy, which is a kind of like, I'm a big fan of Hearts of Iron 4, but it's kind of that, except it's, you're playing mostly through intelligence services. So like secret services, getting, you know, espionage, getting information. Another one is Task Force Admiral, which is a naval combat tactical game. One that I already bought already that I'm probably going to play probably when I come back from the holidays is Paranormasite.
You love horror stories.
Yeah. Well, I like whodunits. I like solving mysteries. And this what I believe. This was recommended as being one of those good ones. The art looks good. Always down for some fun detective stuff with the anime aesthetic, as I'm a big fan of 999 and the Danganronpa series. And then maybe if they send me my code, I'll probably play System Shock. I'm looking forward to that. The new one by Night Dive Studios. And then probably, maybe you and I can have a discussion after we're done here. I'm probably going to play Yakuza 7 at some point next year. And I know that you have some thoughts on that game specifically.
Yeah, dude, I never beat it. The game was too hard.
Yeah. We'll see if it was you or if it was the game.
To find out. Find out next year.
Find out next year. But yeah, that's what I probably got going on.
Nice. All right. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for a wonderful podcast. Mm-hmm. Kind of a fast and loose, but this is again our last podcast of 2023. Mm-hmm. Hope you stick around for 2024. We'll get even worse.
Oh yeah, always. You know,
it only goes downhill.
Kubo talks guarantee.
Kubo talks guarantee. You know, I might abandon the WordPress site and try to put everything on my new site.
Migrate
old Kubo.cafe.
Sounds good.
I'm paying money for this domain, so I gotta make the best use of it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Cool. Any last closing thoughts for you?
God, you're putting me on the spot here.
Yeah.
Have a happy dollar. Happy holidays.
Happy dollar. Give us your dollars.
Stay safe out there. Eat a lot of food, and let's welcome the new year in good spirits.
Well, I'm the opposite. I hope you have a bat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm mega Andy.
Oh.
Anyways. But yeah. I'll leave you off with this fun tweet that I found.
Uh-huh.
Pertaining to one of your favorite artists. All right, here he goes. Ready?
Oh God, this could be a lot of things. I'm nervous.
Vince Guaraldi Trio, you have to stop. Your jazz too smooth, your pattern too festive, your good tidings too different. They'll kill you, Vince Guaraldi Trio.
They're so good!
They are so good.
That man looked at this funny little cartoon and is like, I'm going to write the greatest album of festive jazz to ever exist. And he did, and nothing has ever come close. Outside of probably like Winston Marsalis, but regardless, that album is great. It is.
Listen to that album. We'll play it out for here. But
we got the rights to it? Hell yeah, let's go.
Don't tell them. Well, we're also on Spotify, so maybe Spotify's got his back, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we at the Kupo Brand facility management wish you a very good happy Christmas, happy holidays. For some of you, it might be, you know, for some of us, it's a good, fun, festive time. For some of us, it's a little bit hard. But let's go spend some nice, good, fun time together. You know, we're always here somewhere. So just try your best and have fun, kid.
Yeah.
Try your best and have fun.
All right.
I personally wish you happy holidays. And looking forward to a good Game Awards and looking forward to a good New Year. All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Follow us on stuff. Bye.